If you would this morning turn with me to the book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Zechariah, chapter 11. We begin this morning reading in verse 1. Zechariah, chapter 11, verse 1. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that this fire may devour thy cedars. How, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. How, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. And I will feed the flock of the slaughter, even you, O poor, the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die. And that is to be cut off, let it be cut off. And let the rest eat every one of the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. It's certainly a great blessing to be with you once again here at First Church in Dallas and to attend this meeting. It's been a place of great blessing throughout my life, and I'm thankful for memories of good times past here, and also thankful for the memory of the good service we were blessed with last night. Thank you for your kind welcome since we've been here, and appreciate your kindness to me. And before I try to proceed into what I trust the Lord has laid upon our hearts, I do want to take a moment while I have the free time to make a commercial. In February of this coming year, third weekend, we'll host at Little Union, Lord willing, the Florida Fellowship meeting, starting on Thursday night before the third Sunday, and we would love to have you all come that way. I know it is a long way. I know that because I just come from that way and we'll be going back that way, but we would love to have you come and be with us during that time. Over the years, it has been a blessed meeting, and we trust it will be this time as well, and you are all very much welcome. Here in the 11th chapter of the book of Zechariah, we see a time that the Lord has finally reached the end of His long-suffering with the nation of Israel, particularly the land of Judah. In fact, as we read through this, we see that nations greater than them will come down from the north and begin to destroy them. He says to Lebanon that they should just open their doors. In other words, there's no use, it's futile to try to make any defense, for what is coming against them is determined by the hand of God, and any efforts to defend themselves will be overwhelmed as these nations come in to invade them, because this is what God has ordered to be done. And so Lebanon was known for their strong cedars. And he says the fire will devour them. The greatest defense that they had, the strongest men among the people, were nothing to the enemies that were to come. And he says, and after that, the fir trees, they shall fall, and the mighty oaks, they shall follow as well. And then there shall be the voice of the howling of the shepherds, because their glory is spoiled. In other words, those who had the leadership and care of God's people in the land, they will howl because God would spoil them. God would take from them the responsibility that He had entrusted to them because they had been unfaithful in discharging their stewardship that God had placed into their hands. But in the midst of all this, God does command that the flock of the slaughter is to be fed. That even though the poor among the people, the ones who were not responsible for the destruction that was coming, God was still going to provide for their needs in spite of all the destruction that was going to take place all around them. And he makes the point that I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor, the flock. And then in verse 8, he says, three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month. That just means a very short time, these three shepherds will be cut off. Of course, a lot of different thoughts on what the three shepherds are. Shepherds are simply leaders, and at that time, among the people of Israel, the three main leaders in the land were the prophets, the priests, and the king. And God has said, in 1 month, in a very short time, all those shepherds shall be brought down. And the reason is there would be a new prophet, a new priest, and a new king to rule and reign among God's people, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
And he said, I will not feed you. And he's not talking about the poor of the flock here. He's talking about the leaders that would be cut off. I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die. In other words, God was so angry at their lack of care for God's people that they deserved the death that was to come upon them. And he says, that's to be cut off, let it be cut off. Don't stand in the way of this. This is God's ordered judgment. And they're not to be altered. It's not to be construed. It's going to take place. He says, I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die. He says, and I took my staff. A staff is simply the shepherd's rod. He says, I took the one called beauty. He says, and I break it, showing the covenant that had been broken. God had made it clear in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, that if they would hearken and obey the voice of the Lord, that they would eat of the good of the land. But if they would not and they rebelled, they would be devoured with the edge of the sword. And they had not hearkened. And so now God breaks His covenant with them because they had truly broken their covenant with the Lord. And so God takes this staff and He cuts it in sunder that He might break His covenant which He had with all the people. He says it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them into the potter in the house of the Lord. The Lord will bless us this morning. I'd like to look especially at verse 13. Cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced out of them. And so I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. For those who know the Bible, you know that this was fulfilled with exacting detail by the hand of Judas and the chief priests and the elders among the land of Israel concerning the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, we find it says that when Jesus had finished all these things, He said to the disciples that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed and to be crucified. So as the Lord speaks these things, immediately assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people, and they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill Him. The Bible goes on to let us know that as these things are transpiring, that Jesus goes to Bethany to the house of Simon the leper. And if you'll recall that as He goes there, there was a woman that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, said that she had an alabaster box that had very precious ointment, and she poured it on His head. Now as you read John's Gospel, you'll find that she poured it upon His feet. Another Gospel writer lets us know that His entire body had been anointed. In other words, the whole body of the Lord Jesus Christ had been anointed by this woman. And when the disciples see this, if you'll recall, they are greatly angered. Mainly Judas is angered by this, because they make the statement that this could have been sold and given to the poor instead of wasting this.
Yeah.
But there was no waste in this whatsoever, because by the Spirit of God, this woman knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had an appointment with death, and so she was anointing His body before He would go through that suffering and later be buried in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And the Lord says, why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me, for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And so I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for more memorial of her. And then we find that one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest, and he said unto them, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." Find that Jesus was the treasurer of the apostles. And this was a man who was corrupt, a man that had no love for the Lord Jesus Christ, a man that now when he saw the Lord Jesus actually approved the waste of this woman when Judas could have taken this money and I believe pocketed it for himself. He is so angry with the Lord Jesus Christ for declaring that this woman had done a good work, and wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, it shall be told for her a memorial, that he's so angry now that he goes to the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, and the question is raised, "What will ye give me? I will profit from this somehow. I missed the gain from the ointment of this woman. And so now I want the gain for the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. I missed out on those funds, but how can I profit now by betraying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created the heavens and the earth?" Imagine the audacity of this man who had traveled with the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus himself had called as he called the 12 apostles. And Jesus did not do so unwittingly. He did not do so unwisely. He knew what Judas was from the very beginning. And often it is questioned, why would the Lord choose such a one? Because this, I believe, is the reason. That as they began to try to bring witness against the Lord Jesus Christ, the very man who had the financial care of the apostolic ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, even he himself could bring no accusation against any in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly of Jesus Christ himself. And so the devil would have no witness whatsoever against the Lord Jesus Christ, to the point they had to purchase witnesses who would tell their lies before Pilate, and finally even their witness had been so clear that it was not true, that Pilate would reject it out of hand and recognize that this was a just man who was not worthy to be put to death. So here Judas Iscariot, he goes to the leaders of that land who will soon be cut off by the Lord Jesus Christ. "What will ye give me?" And so they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Just as Zechariah had there declared, "Give me my price if you think it good, and if not, forbear." And so they weighed out 30 pieces of silver. If you've read the Bible, you recognize that 30 pieces of silver was the price, according to the book of Exodus, that would be given for a slave who had been gored by a beast. And I'm sure those priests and those elders knew the law well enough to know that that was the price for such a one. And yet their disdain for the Lord Jesus Christ was such that he should be given nothing more than the price of a servant. And so here they see a man who's willing to betray him, and yet these men do not understand the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ and disdain him so much that they give a price that really is ridiculous for who and what he is.
Amen.
And yet Judas is satisfied with the price. He's got the money that he wanted, and he is now willing to betray the Lord Jesus. And as you recall, he does so. Because after the communion service and after the Garden of Gethsemane, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is betrayed by Judas into the hands of the leadership. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is taken to Herod, to the high priest, and ultimately to Pilate. And there he is judged, and then ultimately condemned to die. And the Bible tells us that after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 27, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor. And then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders. I don't know what your position is about the eternal state of Judas. I don't know for certain. The Bible just doesn't seem to give him a whole lot of reason to have confidence, or me either. Some say, well, he repented himself. Well, the Bible speaks of a repentance and a sorrow that leads to death, and that one that leads to a restoration. Judas did not experience a repentance that led to a restoration, but one that led to his death. I believe this man, he repented. That means he turned. He recognized what the Lord Jesus Christ had said. It had been better for this man that he had not been born. That what this man was going to experience, there was no way to escape. And this man knew that the judgment of God was upon him. And whether or not he knew that in the inner man as a man who was born again, which I highly doubt. He did know, at least in his mind, in a moral sense, that he had violated the very Son of God. And that God, who was in the heavens, saw and recognized the betrayal of this man and would destroy him for the betrayal that he brought against his only beloved Son. And so what does he say? I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? We don't care what your declaration of his innocency or of his guilt is. See thou to that. So he cast the pieces of silver in the temple, departed and went, and he hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it's the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now I recognize we've read this in the book of Zechariah. Here we find that it is not said that Jeremiah wrote this. Jeremiah spake this. Jeremiah spake it. Zechariah recorded it. What did Jeremiah say? They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, and what did they do? They gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. The last few minutes I want to speak about the potter's field. It was the custom in that time that a man who made vessels of clay would have what we would call today a dump ground very near the side of either his home or place of business. And as that man would make a vessel, and there would be a mistake in it, some corruption in it, something about it that he recognized that it had no value now to place it up for sale, he would take that vessel, take it to the potter's field and just throw it, and it would be nothing more than useless, marred, broken shards left there for no good whatsoever. That's what the potter's field was. Well, why was the ransom money, or rather the betrayal money of the Lord Jesus Christ, used to buy this very field? Because, my beloved, that field is a representation, if you will, of where you and I were. We were nothing more in the sight of God except for the fact that He valued us because we were the elect of God. But in our nature, apart from the value He saw in us in election and would see in us through the redemption that we received in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing more than broken vessels, nothing more than useless clay pots that had been marred and destroyed and had no use or value whatsoever. And that's exactly where you are and I were. By our nature, we were nothing more than castaways. That which was broken, that which was useless, that had been thrown away. And so here, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His betrayal, we find that something very great, of course, came out of it. He took us from the potter's field and made out of us something far greater.
Amen.
David says this in Psalm 68, though ye have lain among the pots. That's where we were. In the potter's field, broken pieces of pottery useful for nothing. David says, though ye have lain among the pots, yet ye shall be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Is that not a description of something far different? Here we were laying among the pots, just like it says there. We were in the potter's field, broken, marred, useless. And yet through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that He took us from that place of destruction, that place of depravity, that place of corruption, that place of hopelessness. And here we were, vessels, useless, but yet He said, we shall be as the wings of a dove. One that now can fly and take her flight away from this world through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, and her wings shall be covered with silver, the color and the metal of redemption, is it not?
Yeah.
That as the priest would go into the temple and give the offerings of animals, not only was that to be given, but also money was to be used there as well. And it was always silver that was used for the price of redemption. And you and I, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, have been covered with silver. Covered with the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our feathers also with yellow gold. Why? Because it's the color of kingship. Because the King Himself has covered us. You remember there in Ezekiel 16? There we were, babes cast out into the open field to the loathing of our person. And yet, what did the Lord do? He passed by and said to us, live. And there we were in our nakedness and our blood. And He cleansed us and covered us with the skirts of His own garments. And said, behold, thy time is the time of love. So the potter's field was purchased by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that you and I that laid there among the pots would not have to lay there any longer. But now we have the hope that we shall be as the wings of a dove. That we will one day fly away and truly be at rest.
Yes,
and we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ because we have been covered with His redemption. And now we are under His monarchy and under His rule. And we have been made kings and priests unto God. And the day is approaching that we shall fly away out of this world and be at rest with the Lord Jesus Christ for that which He has done for us and delivered us through His death. Now we are blessed with eternal life in Him. May God bless you today as I pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen.